Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yes, there is a certain loneliness.
Darling, darling, come over here. Look at this one.
Oh, what
look
is
at this one?
Oh, what? Now, oh my.
I have a very real piece for you to look at right now. This is, it takes the form of a long format audio podcast.
Right, you know, I see.
Aren't you striken by how amazingly vivid and, you know, touchable?
Well, of course, it's unusual for the Tate. Mm. It's unusual for the Tate. That's
yes.
What I
Darling,
always say.
Don't you know it? But I mean, look, number one.
Yes.
Two men.
Yes.
The originators of this project. I don't think that's so special.
Bert and Cleft.
Two men. I mean, when do you see that?
I know. Haven't seen that since Pearl and Dean. Cannonball.
Yeah, Jabber and Hutt.
Jabber and Hutt.
The pure balls of the piece.
Pupo and Pupus.
There must be four.
Yes,
four
I know.
Balls.
Four balls.
Sheer balls.
Well, if you're counting eyes, which maybe we shouldn't, for in this case, because it's audio.
Why eyes?
Why eyes? If you're counting eyes, it's eight balls.
Yes.
Eight balls. And right. That, as we know, is cue ball.
Cue ball.
Cue ball. No, it's not.
Rack them up.
No, of course.
It's
but
the eight
in
ball.
Art, it is the eight ball. Well, I mean, what's captured me immediately, because you've only just showed me this, and I what I like are these fun characters.
Yes, they seem to construct.
They seem to, yes.
Thin air.
I know, just, where do they come from? Where do they go?
Whither do they go?
Don't know.
I tell you
that's what excites me. This sort of horse.
Yes.
They've got here. He's a lot of fun. God, he's a lot of fun.
Combining the Grecian and the Roman myths into what. I mean, the thing that I really love.
Yes.
The thing that really, really gets me right in the cock.
Yes.
Is it's just a fucking shambles.
Well, that is. I. You know what? I wholeheartedly agree. I'll go get Grenadine Papyrus.
Grenadine!
They have to hear this, Papyrus! Pod shambles. An empty room.
Ooh.
Lights.
Yes.
Up. Stage left. Direction. Stage direction left. Enters. Enter two men. Two men. Ooh. One. Got big beard.
Yes.
One. Got long hair. Not same.
Two men.
Begin. First line is Laurie's.
Hello, my name's Laurie, and
interrupted suddenly by Patty.
Welcome to Pod Shambles.
Welcome to Pod Shambles. Now a play.
Now scripted.
Now
live and scripted.
Yeah, exactly. How long, by the way? If we did script this,
oh, it would take way too long.
Bear in mind that we've now this is episode 44,
yeah,
and we've had a couple of incongruous ones in the middle. that's 60 hours of stuff.
Yeah.
How long do you reckon it would take to have written 60 hours?
And 60 hours of
exactly
this
what was said.
Stuff, mate,
no
way
improv.
Way too long.
Do you reckon it would have taken us, like,
yeah, because
years?
So much of it is, like, weird little cul-de-sacs and things that never come to anything.
Well, the real question
is, for us to have actually thought of those, would it have taken far longer?
And would it have been worth it?
No!
Exactly. That's the weird thing, because I got asked, I did a show the other day that you came to on Friday.
I did! Your previews for the Edinburgh show, yeah. Man.
Yes, which went really, really well.
It was excellent.
I'm so stoked that you came, by the way. It was really cool.
And, thanks, man.
And not
can
only
you imagine if I didn't?
Not only did he come, listeners, he bought a ticket.
I did.
And he is single-handedly keeping the arts going,
£6.60 is going to keep you guys afloat for at least...
Oh, I forgot about the booking charge.
One pret-a-manger meal.
One pret-a-manger meal. Two jambon beurres and a Coke. That's the best pret-a-manger meal. No, I was going to say, we did the previews, but on Wednesday... Artie and Louie only bloody showed
up. Oh, you didn't tell me that.
I was saving it to tell you on the podcast.
Saving my little story.
Saving up my little nuggets of information that I keep behind my little ear here.
I am going to eat that nugget right up.
They both showed up. They both had, as far as I can tell, a really lovely time. And we did our traditional, I immediately spent like an hour and a half with them having a really lovely conversation afterwards. And
it's funny that when someone comes and talks to you about that silly side project you're doing,
Yeah.
Immediately how fun it is to talk about.
This is not silly, indulge yourself for an hour. Dude, this is the moneymaker. This is big bucks.
How much money have we made? Hang on, let me just check the Podshambles accounts.
Well, you worked out the other day. How much have we made off advertising on YouTube?
Podshambles advertising on YouTube, we've made a whole 70p or something.
70p?
In like 3 years.
According to all maths, that is about 11% of a Protomange meal. So that is almost a third of a Jean Bon Beurre.
That's very exciting. How have you been up? I mean, presumably that's been all your time. It's been spent.
That has been all my time spent. But it was what was really nice is amidst that sort of storm of solely focusing on Johnny and the Baptist,
yeah.
Artie and Louie showed up in that context and brought Podshambles into it.
Brought Podshambles crawling back.
And they knew, like, everyone who was there, they knew that Stuart ran the theatre. Like, of course, you mentioned Stuart before. Like, they know, like, of course, they know Johnny. They've seen the shows before. But one of the questions that they did ask me, they were talking about whether or not we script this. I kind of went, of course we don't.
How the hell could we?
Like that, but then it did make me think. I was like, did we ever preempt anything? They were talking mainly in specifics of like choose your own adventure and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and they were like, oh, so you guys clearly write all those characters out? And I was like, no, we're both just fucking stupid. Like yeah. That is how
basically
that works.
The way that the choose your own adventure was born is we both sit there with a large brick and just slowly mash it into our foreheads. And then someone goes, it's a dwarf, he's a magician, and yet, it's a horse, but he's half a horse and half a centaur.
And it's like, you know, that pirate from that film he's in. And yet somehow we have this pretense of doing this at the beginning that has apparently got people fooled. I'm gonna open up my cleverly written book. Oh man, I had such a lovely time seeing them.
Good.
And one thing they did call us out on, by the way, do you remember in a couple of episodes ago, they sent us a thing...
God, hang on, I'm sorry. We can't have continuity errors on Podchannels because we're going
to
get nowhere.
Not exactly. They sent it when we were talking about like video games and video game names and like what the games would be in game devs and stuff like that. And they were talking about Joe Leader.
Oh, Joe Leader,
and
yeah,
they sent the tweet saying, and his mega sword skills.
Yeah.
And I found out, they sent us a direct tweet, right, that is a picture of Joe Leader, and it's a screenshot from his website, and he's in this pose with a big samurai sword.
It's fucking
and
amazing.
And it turns out he's like a sword master. And like he talks all about how
he found
his life in Bushido, and I didn't get that reference, but I'm now going to make that picture my background.
Do you think Joe Leader is like the Nega universe version of you? Because there's an awful lot of similarities I'd like to notice. If you were born a wanger, you would have turned into Joe Leader.
Well, I was born a wanger, but maybe we were separated at birth. Half a medallion, like I always, you know.
No, there was no medallion. Well, actually, if there was a half medallion involved, you'd be terrible. That you'd feel terrible if your long lost like medallion half holder was Joe Leader.
Was Joe Leader? Oh, that'd and I find end. Him, and I'm so excited, and his medallion's like 40 times bigger.
Gold. And yeah, exactly. Joe Leader.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got all the little sax keys on the side of it and a little blade sticking out the end.
Horrid.
Oh, man, but it's nice that we don't script things because it makes this a hell of a lot more fun and easy. I was going to ask you as well, very briefly, thank you, because you lent me Oryx and Crake by Margaret Atwood.
What are you asking me?
Thanks,
accepted, man. Anytime.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
What have you asking really me? Good. I did give you that book, yes.
You did, and it's really, really cool. And your book recommendations are always very... I don't know if people have read Oryx and Crake, but it is fantastic.
It's Wicked by Margaret Atwood, if you guys don't know, who's a brilliant Canadian author who wrote The Handmaid's Tale, which loads of people read in school, I
Blind
think.
Assassin.
Blind Assassin, one of the new... That's really hard going, yeah. Man. I give that a go. And Oryx and Crake is this, like, it's a sci-fi tale.
Yeah. Fucking serious.
It's really cool.
Well,
she writes it from really cool... It's not like, here's the scene and everything happens. It's like from one guy inside the story's point of view, and you never quite know what's going on for a long time.
Yeah.
And it ends up being about genetic manipulation and like mega corporations. It's really cool. I enjoyed it.
I absolutely loved it. And like for a start, it's slightly more, this is going to sound so lame, like it's slightly more grown up.
No, totally.
Than what I'm usually
she
used to.
She doesn't write, like, robots and not that that's all you read.
No, exactly. She doesn't write your robot shit that you
No,
love.
But it's like proper sci-fi. It's taking a look at the world and saying, here's something that's wrong. What if in the future that becomes a much bigger deal? What would happen?
Absolutely. And it was a really nice sort of step for me, because normally I read fantasy that, like, when Johnny or Will catch me reading it, they're like, oh, is this one of
it's
your...
It's called, like, The Blades of Argonaut.
Yeah, exactly. Is this one of your Tits and Dragons books? Is it? It's like, oh, is there a wizard, Pads? What's his name? Like, his name is Merlin. Oh, has he got a sword? And like, all that. And then they saw I was reading Oryx and Craig and were like, oh, cool. And I was like, no, hang on. You don't get to do that, because this is sort of a sci-fi fantasy novel. And they're like, yeah, but it's Margaret Atwood. It's all that.
Yeah.
And I suddenly felt like, oh, hang on. Now am I playing with the big dogs?
It's literally sci-fi.
Yeah, literally sci-fi. But one of the main things discussed in it is about genetic manipulation.
Oh, well, okay.
And I absolutely loved all of that. But it's done in quite a light-hearted way. It talks about all these companies that start, like, splicing animals together,
yeah,
as you know. And, like, the main example used are pigoons, who are, like, these, like, as far as I could tell, these sort of scavenging pigs that they grow, like...
They're pig raccoons.
Yeah, they're pig raccoons, and they grow organs, and, like, all this kind of, and wolf hogs,
yeah,
who are the wolves crossed with the boars, basically.
It's fucking terrifying.
And which of these become these, like, rabid, scary, hyper-intelligent, like, wolf creatures. It's so cool. Well, I was going to ask you, have you... not have you, because you clearly haven't.
How do you know?
Were you to genetically splice... Mate, two animals together.
What do you think I'm doing with that big cage full of mice and the big cage full of geese in my room?
That are, like, taking up all of your...
Again, I'm not a geneticist, but I'm just, like, mushing them together, going, why won't you breathe?
God, why won't you...
Just fuck already, come on!
Exactly, it's like a parrot and a load of tapeworms just in the same box. You're like, yes, it's all coming into
dribbling
fruition.
Dribbling them onto each other. Yes, my prettiest fly!
Just dribble a parrot onto something.
No, dribble the tapeworms.
Oh, I see.
They're the more dribblable... two animals.
Well, unless I don't know. Unless you,
what are you asking me? What I would actually splice?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe what would you splice, and then how would that go wrong?
How would it go?
Like, where's the hubris in your creation?
The hubris in my creation. I think I'd want to splice, like, some kind of. I don't think I could do, like, a terrifying predator or something. It wouldn't be like a shark and an eagle,
right? Okay.
That would be terrifying. Oh, imagine terrifying. Like a great white with wings that could swoop down and
could see, like, for, yeah, like 3 miles, and it perched in, like, enormous trees.
And I also. And you could splice a little voice box into it that meant whenever it flapped its wings, it went...
So its flight was really like... Boom, 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 boom.
Exactly, see, that would work. God. What I do,
but it hasn't yet mastered, like, grabbing things, so no. It just goes... and, like, lands and dies into things.
Maybe I'd do something like, really, an animal used for evil, a sickeningly cute animal. So I'd crossbreed a chinchilla... with, like, a corgi, and have, like, this fluffy little dust-rolling corgi creature.
I could use
to terrorise my enemies.
I think I'd do a pug and a duck.
Oh, that'd be horrible! Oh my god, they're both so ill-suited to life as they are.
Nature's error.
So you take them, and you take all the shit bits of both of them, put them into a...
It's just like...
A pug!
A little pug!
A little pug!
And it, like, waddles in, falling over and pooing everywhere. Yeah, it's wheezing, and then for some reason its quack has become just, like, a human scream. And it's just... And it's, like, surprised by everything.
I think a pug
and a duck would be quite good. Or just, like, I don't... Because, like, you could go, like, if you were breeding them for love, what are the most, like... I mean, a dog is probably the most, like, affectionate animal.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily
true.
What else would you choose? Like, if you had, like, the affection of a dog, but also dogs are very loyal. So the loyalty of a dog...
Right.
Mixed with, like, the feeling that some other animal gives you. Like I don't know. Like
what?
I don't know. Like
the sexual arousal of a goose.
Like a hen.
Why?
I don't know. No, I think hens...
Funny, this is why you would not be all right in the Oryx and Craig world, because everyone would be like, we've bred this one because it's an even better scavenger. You'd be just going, ha, 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 why not tapeworms and geese? It's now a goose that lives in your lower colon.
Yeah,
it's just... Oh, actually, if you did that right,
yeah,
you'd have an amazing kind of foie gras machine, because it would eat the food you digested,
oh my
and
God,
then digest it even finer,
yeah,
and then poo it, and then you'd poo it, and it would be like the most amazing... amazingly fine pate.
And everyone would be like really up for eating.
Everyone
would
want to eat your pate. Your poo pate.
I think a dog and a pig would be good, man.
Dog and a pig.
I've always wanted a pig, like a house pig.
Yeah, they're quite cute, man. But there's like also they will eat anything though, and they'll eat dead people. I mean, that's the common story.
That is the crux.
Would you want a pet that ate you when you died?
Well, I don't know, but I think a dog in the wrong circumstances, a dog would eat you when you died.
Yeah, but exactly, the wrong circumstances. Dogs have, you know, they know the time and the place, so it's appropriate to eat their owner.
What, do you think pigs just...
Pigs just do it. As soon as you fall over and you don't move much, they're just like, I'm just going to have a... And they have a little bite on you, and if you don't struggle too much, they carry on.
Well, maybe they're mixing a pig with a dog, but then they both do it, so I was hoping we could eradicate the eating element from
that. I'm going to mix a beloved sheepdog with my little girl, Nina, and make a...
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, and then everyone's hearts would be broken in about episode 12. And, oh, my God, that's a really niche reference, isn't it?
People are going to get it, man. I'm sorry if that's a spoiler for you.
Well, do watch this space, because we're going to be creating chimeras from now on.
This
actually
is Pod Shambles Inc.
This is now Pod Shambles Inc. And watch out the future, because we're going to Oryx and Crake the shit out of it.
Well, I was about to say, funny you say that, Paddy, our specialist is going to be specialist pooers. Like, is this animal not pooing in a more exciting way? Then why not come to Pod Shambles? We'll make it shit elephants.
Yeah, like Poop Corp.
Yeah, Poop Corp.
Oh, a little Poop Corp.
Buy shares in Poop Corp right now.
Right now. They're £1 each, and they're available...
They're only going
online.
Listen up, everybody. This song is called Bum Monkey.
Woohoo!
That's as far as I got.
Oh, listeners, I have to apologise on someone's behalf. There is outside at the moment a kind of music festival.
Oh, right. That's what all of the squeals are.
Yeah. Well, I think it's amazing. But, like, I can't... Like, the music's been going since about 10 this morning.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because I'm, like, cynical and not into this newfangled music or I'm not getting some, but it's the kind of music transmitted through a wall.
Yeah.
All it sounds like is... And then someone over the top just... You know what you can hear is... Oh, that makes nice music! Have a good time, festival!
It's the East London Hanging Festival. I know exactly what you mean. It's anything that is going on outside, and you have to have the windows open at the moment because it's fucking warm.
Yeah.
Like, anything through a wall is immediately less fun.
But I always think that there's, like, in my head, that is one kind of music that I just don't get. It's just like, whenever you hear music like that through a wall, it was always loud and dancey and, like...
Yeah, that's true. Like,
I don't know.
Although from the dude upstairs, we often, at about 3 or 4 in the morning, get, like, genuinely... Ride of the Valkyries.
We had that once. The best one is, you know, when he's had a bad day, because he comes home and puts my foot in his son's on. He kind of Lover of the Light, which is like,
oh, the things are wrong.
It's the one that he's like, it's the one that starts. It's really like, and I know I fucked it up in the harvest time. And you, like, it's like, you cannot be have had a good night when you come in at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's the first thing.
And
you
can imagine him up there, like, holding a bottle of whiskey and chewing on, like, a bale of hay.
Being like, I can't believe Samantha didn't dance with me at the
cleaning, cleaning out the latrines and like
the latrines.
Yeah, and he's wearing like a string shirt and his lover's left for another
He'd be looking at his artisan crafted work, being like, none of it means anything.
The guy upstairs, by the way, once I think you were asleep for that, our doorbell went at about 2:45 in the morning, and I like lifted the phone and I was like, hello, and he was like, come on, like, what are you doing, let me in. And I was like, I am not buzzing whoever this is. And then he kept ringing our fucking doorbell, so I got dressed and I went and I opened the door as if I was like leaving the house, and he did, and like, and
yeah, okay,
all that, and I opened the door and he was absolutely fucked, and I never met him before, so he was like, well, who are you? And I was like, oh, I just live here. I'm just nipping out for a cigarette. And then I waited for the smoke, and then he went in the door, so I immediately went in behind him to be like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Right? And then he walked up to our door and knocked on the door, and I came up behind him and was like, hey, man, I live here, and I don't know who you are, but
what are you doing?
I just came and let you in. And he was like, but this is my flat. And I was like, okay. No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure, unless something very radical has happened, I'm pretty sure I know who I
am. And I was like, I'm confident you might have made this error and you live on the top
floor. What would you do if that was my booty call? That is the guy I'd phoned up to come and have sex with.
But I'm here to fuck Lauren. Like, I do this every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday.
It's our thing.
At the same time. And like, no, and he kept on trying to get into our house. So eventually I walked him to upstairs. But I don't think he lives upstairs. I think I made the assumption that he lived there. So I was like, this is your... Bye now. Goodbye. And just knocked on the door for him, and then there's this very angry, what do you want? I'm trying to listen to Mumford and Sons. But yeah, Matt, no.
They sound like they'd be friends.
Any music through a wall festival music, even if it's something I totally love, I can't deal
with. No, I think, because there's some weird little thing, there's some weird little boop, 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 that goes off when you hear even a really mangled version of a song you love, I think. Those times, I mean, this is the effect of drunkenness, but it's times when you're in town and you go past a place that's playing music you like, yeah. And you suddenly go, oh my God, they're playing the first Nick Drake album, even though it's Saturday night and no one wants to listen to Nick Drake.
Yeah.
Let's be friends. And I just, it's a funny thing, because I wonder if that ever changes, because in my head it feels like the stuff I don't like is like electronic dance music, which I don't really like,
or the kind
of music they listen to over there, which is again not my thing.
And I
wonder, will that change, will that get worse as I get older and I'll just get more like, I have no tolerance or time for this.
Yeah, that's really interesting actually, like I don't know, like, what do you think, that your music taste will stay the same, or do you think that as you grow it actually there's a good way of getting into this. So for instance, like my dad,
uh-huh.
right, my dad has listened to roughly the same music throughout his whole life.
Yeah.
He listens to blues music, and he raised all of us on blues. And now that he's got older, he still listens to it, but he tries to engage in, like, newer music, normally through stuff that my stepmom has been like, oh, I hear that the new Palu Nutino record's quite a fun blast. And then my dad will buy it, and he'll put it in the cart, and he'll hate it, but he'll make sure that he drops into conversation like, Paolo's got some new shoes on, and everything's feeling all right.
Oh, I see, and it's the line from the song.
He'll be like, no, it's quite a good album. And I'm like, I know that you hate this album. Right, but like...
Maybe in that dad way of being like, he won't ever say like, yeah, I love it. He'd be like, yeah, it's not bad, you know, I don't mind.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never like a ringing endorsement.
But I feel like my music taste was definitely like osmosis almost through him and being taught about it. But also there was all of our family, just that was something we were into.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether, like, do you feel that? Like, with your folks? Like, did you think that you inherited their taste?
No, with my folks it's different, because with my folks, music was a big part of us growing up as well. Like, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
And my parents were both, like, more classical musicians. So my mum is a trained violinist, and dad played bass, and he plays piano and organ really well. And they met in an orchestra.
I didn't know that.
And dad used to offer to give mum lifts home, and that's how they met.
Back to his house.
To
make lorry.
Fuck off. Very chaste all through their relationship. I'm
confident.
I've been reassured on multiple occasions. Yeah, please tell me, mum and dad, please. No, because my dad's really, you know, he doesn't like any music basically that's been released since 1950, and I don't think he'd mind me saying that.
Yeah.
He likes The Shadows,
yeah.
And a couple of bands like that, and then everything else is, you know, orchestral music.
He does,
like, Wagner's his go-to.
Shadows, man, that's rad.
Yeah, I know, what a great band.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mum likes pop music, and she got me listening to stuff like Jimi Hendrix and ELO,
cool.
And a couple of bands like that, but it was never like, and Robbie Williams, we used to listen together, like, you know, poppy stuff.
Yeah, you're big into Robbie Williams.
Brilliant. Robbie Williams and Guy Chambers is the most underrated songwriting partnership of the last millennium.
You are the reason that millennium. You're the reason that normally I would rip on stuff like Robbie Williams, because I'm a bit of a
dickhead. Feel free to rip.
No, but actually, because I know that you have so much time for him, I'm like, no, they must be really good.
Oh, mate, yeah, but it's not...
I'm still not going to buy any of their stuff or listen to it.
I don't think you should conclude that, because I don't think he is that good.
He's
got such a firm spot in my heart.
That's really, really cool.
He writes good pop songs. But no, so it was like, it was rarely that I would pick stuff up directly if it wasn't orchestral stuff. And because music was so much like, I played the viola when I was really... I played the violin even when I was really little. It was like, you go to music lessons and you're going to learn, you know, hear some music. Oh, it's got a violin in it. Isn't that nice? And then when I picked up sax later, it was a bit more of a thing that my godfather and my uncle got really involved in.
They're big musicians.
Yeah, they're
like,
both,
they
and
know
they're both
their
big,
shit. Those
and
guys.
They really, you know, they were the guys who would buy me CDs for Christmas I never heard of, and you got me a Led Zeppelin record when I was 12 and stuff, and I didn't listen to for 8 years properly.
And then suddenly it makes sense.
Yeah, so I think I picked up from them and my friends much more.
Yeah.
And with my parents, there's definitely not a sense of, I don't think their tastes... Well, you know, they're obviously mature and they know what they like now.
But yeah, yeah.
I get the impression my dad listened to a bit of The Shadows and stuff when he was a kid growing up in the kind of late 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
And then was like, no, fuck it, I'd never need to listen to this again, that's fine.
That's really true.
My mum was much more, she saved up her pocket money to buy, you know, the latest 7-inch from someone, and
she was on it.
She was on it, and my uncle and her sister both were as well.
My Uncle Keith, I remember him. Uncle Keith.
Here comes Uncle Keith. He's got a pie under his hat.
He bought me Led Zeppelin 3 when I was about 10. Well, actually, he gave me his vinyl of Led Zeppelin 3. And I remember him, he used to bring us vinyls because he used to be a bodyguard, right? And he was a bodyguard for Sex Pistols, he was a bodyguard for the Troggs.
Oh, wow.
Most bands he did like a stint with, and he'd bring us their records, be like, yeah, I used to work with the Pistols, you know, back in the day, like that. And he's now like an IT guy who's like, he has his big glasses and this sort of comb over.
Oh my gosh.
He's absolutely brilliant, but he was a big part in me getting into rock music as like a side thing. And then also the difference between us as well, I'm the youngest sibling, so I got to pick and choose through all of that. Like, my sister was really into jazz, my brother was really into rock, and my parents were into blues and all that. Whereas you, like, kind of were the person whose, I'd assume, taste would might bleed a bit into your siblings because you're the eldest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'd admit that, but I think that's probably fair. Yeah, I mean, I had a bit of guidance from my older cousin, who was in a band that he, in 2001, his band supported Radiohead in that South Park gig in Oxford.
Oh, man.
Which is, like, so cool. Yeah, and I got invited to go, and I was 11, and I was
my brother went to that.
Oh, sounds shit, I don't know Radiohead. No, it's the biggest regret ever.
That's really interesting. So when you're old, if you look like, if, I don't think we think this anymore, because maybe we're mature enough, but like, you know when you're a kid, and when you hear old person's music, you're like, God, that's so old. Like, do you know what I mean?
Do I feel that? No.
Not now, but like, you know when you're like 8 years old, or you're starting to learn a little bit about what you like.
Yeah.
And then you hear Gran's got her old, you know, she's got her old honky tonk record on. Did you ever have this where like,
no,
I'd listen to my Gran listening to music and I'd be like, whoa, like, check out Grandma's
taste. No, that's
taste.
What I was gonna say. It was never a thing in my extended family. Like I know my dad's folks like music and stuff. We used to go to concerts quite a lot, and they were big opera fans. I don't get on with opera.
Right.
But we used to go to concerts. That was the thing I did with my family. We went to see the Royal Albert Hall, went to see the Proms, all that kind of thing.
I never did that.
And I got taken to see that Peter and the Wolf when I was a little kid.
Whoa.
And which is so cool.
Yeah.
And it's written for kids, and it's an introduction to all the instruments and stuff.
Yeah.
Similarly, there's a Benjamin Britten piece called A Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra, very similar thing, right? Or The Planets, you know, the real stuff that you can get into.
I know
as
The
a
Planets,
kid,
right? I know,
yeah,
you taught
the stuff
me
with
them.
Big tunes, and it's easy for a kid to go, oh, that's meant to be a Mars. Like, I get that, that sounds
it's
like
war.
Mars.
Yeah.
But no, and I think because, I mean, I was the uncool one at school. Like, I was the one who, I knew jazz and classical stuff before I knew anything else.
Yeah.
So, no, I never, there was rare that I'd listen to what mum and dad would listen to and be like, beyond the fact that I find Wagner really hard to listen to because it's fucking hard going. I was never like, oh, it's dad's old person music. I don't know.
I think I did have that when a kid, like old people, old music. And then the thing that changed that for me the other day, by the way, is I was in Bedford doing a show. And after the gig, right, we were having a pint, and we were talking to this old couple who'd come to see the gig. And they were like mid-80s. And they had come out to see a comedy night. And it turns out they go to a lot of comedy. And
they
knew a lot of Baptist stuff, and they know like all this kind of stuff. And just as we were leaving, we were like, oh, see you later. The old man turned to me and went, I don't know why the he wasn't like
symbolized
age. Eating a cherry. He turned to me and he said, "By the way, are you in a band?" And I said, "Well, yeah. I mean,
you just watched
I'm Johnny." And I was like, "Oh, bless him," you know. And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." No, well,
do you need to do a pool now?
And he was like, "No. It's just. I know, of course, you're Johnny and the Baptist, but you look an awful lot like the bassist from Foles." And it just stopped me in my tracks, and I was like, "That's my brother.
You don't know Foles.
I was like,
you're too
was
old
like,
for
yeah,
Foles."
That's the, I was like, "That's my brother Walter." And he went, "Ah, of course, that does make sense." Anyway, brilliant show. We'll see you later. And I didn't have time to question him any further, so I just like as he was going, I was like, "How do you know
yeah,
them?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Because my boy, I like music."
Yeah,
and he walked out, and I was like, fuck, actually, I've been totally wrong as a kid, in that I really hope that I will keep a keen interest in music, like, when I grow up, and I won't, and maybe that does mean turning into my folks, because you still fly the flag of the stuff you like, and you're keen to discover,
but that's what I was getting at, because the fact that it wasn't a big thing that mum and dad were like, here is the music we listen to, and
right.
You know, like it was for you, but like, you know, it wasn't a huge fixture. It was just always enjoy music. And the reason they got me playing the violin when I was four,
yeah,
they always say since, just because,
God,
well,
young,
that's what, yeah, but it wasn't ever,
that's
like,
cool though. No,
it wasn't like they made me play violin from four so I would go to the conservatoire and
yeah.
be a violinist.
Of course,
it was always so that I could understand and enjoy music. I think that's the thing for most people. You get those people who say, I don't like music.
Yeah,
but I mean, for one, I just don't believe them.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lie.
Yeah,
it's a bare-faced lie.
But number two, I think there's a bit of a, when you play an instrument particularly, it just broadens your mind a bit. And I'm not trying to say like, oh, aren't I brilliant and broad-minded because of my parents, but I think there's,
right.
you know, they really open my eyes to the fact that music is music and you like what you like.
Yeah.
And just because someone doesn't like, you know, modern pop and rock music or something, or someone doesn't like classical music, doesn't make their taste any more invalid, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the time it doesn't line up to what you'd expect, you know. My uncle, who's not aged by any means, but like maybe people wouldn't expect, he phones me up and gives me new music all the time, and he's going to gigs that I've never heard of, and I go and see weird little shows with him in London, rather than, it's not like he shows up and goes, do you want to go see the Rolling Stones with me?
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw him, I went to Citadel Festival just up the road at the weekend, and my sister was going, she's in London at the moment,
yeah,
and Sigur Rós were playing, who I love.
We mentioned last week. Wait,
yeah,
yeah,
exactly. And my sister very catches, like, oh, Phil's here. Phil and Karen, his wife, are here, and they're seeing some of the bands. And I bumped into him, like in a queue for the bar. I was like, Phil, oh my god, you're here.
Yeah.
And it was him saying stuff like, it's like, yeah, Sigur Rós is just a bit too boring for me. I'm gonna go see Battles later, actually, they're much more my speed.
Oh my god.
You know, the avant-garde post rock of Battles. I was like, yeah, okay, fair, you know, whatever.
that's
probably cooler than most of the kids here.
I would never run into my dad at a festival.
No, my parents
or anything
neither.
Like that, but that is so cool. I mean, my dad came to he came to a Latitude festival a couple of years
ago.
That's
a good one for your dad.
That's the thing, he came for one day because I think Walter was playing and I was playing.
Oh yeah, of course.
And it was the day, and then in the evening we all stuck around and got hammered. You were there.
I was
of
there.
Course you were.
Yeah.
And like, there's all of us, like,
funny, most stories you tell, you can just assume
I was there, but we were
never far
it was
from
like,
your side.
I was there, and like we were still, and like me and my brothers and sisters and Lauren, we were all chatting. It's like, oh, you know, like it was exactly that. It was like Battles are on later, like we should check that out. And like, oh, I think the Hammond Lou Clark's playing one of those little stages
yeah.
and stuff like that. And my dad was like, well, Buena Vista Social Club are headlining stage 3 at 7.
Yeah.
And it's like, great, okay.
To be fair, he had a point.
He did have a point. And I was really glad that was his, like that was his one thing that he, like, chose and all that, and he was so excited about it. And they were fucking amazing. But
that's the thing, man. And I went to Primavera recently, though.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
And that was awesome because they had, like, 4 or 5 bands that everyone knew, like Radiohead were playing, so, you know, blah, 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 blah. But for a lot of the days, I mean, obviously in Barcelona, it was bloody beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so nice to wander around and see some, they had a really, why, it wasn't like going to Reading and every band is like a 3-piece bunch of surly teenagers yeah. playing like shit indie music. It was like, no, we're going to see a Turkish folk singer who
right.
like sings about democracy in Turkey. He's like 70.
Yeah.
She was amazing. She's called Zelda something, but just S-E-L-D-A.
I'm going to look it up.
Zelda Hatgen or something like that.
Zelda
she was wicked. But it was stuff like that, and seeing the people in the crowd, there were a bunch of Spanish teenagers, there were, you know, that's what it's all about, mate, isn't it? It's what it's all about.
Yeah. Sorry, I typed in Zelda and it was Zelda Wii U, Zelda Breath of the Wild.
She's Zelda with an S. If you listen to my spelling, mate,
oh,
you
Laurie,
would have
I'm ever so sorry. I just...
Zelda Batgirl, there you go.
No, Zelda Batgirl.
There she
oh,
is.
She
She's
looks
fucking awesome.
Amazing.
She's got like a proper like red rinse, like short, you know, the kind of hair that only older women
yeah,
have,
yeah.
you know, kind
that
of
can
very...
really pull off. Yeah,
yeah, yeah
look
yeah,
at
yeah.
her back in the day as well.
Back in the day, she was also like, yeah, like I said, she was a real like activist and stuff. But like, that's the thing, I'd never heard of her.
But yeah,
and
you got to.
You go to this festival and it gets flung in front of you, and you just suddenly, when you see it live, particularly, I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Actually, is when you see something live, it's so much easier to be like, this is fine. If we went to like a proper classical concert, even if it's a piece you never heard, it
yeah.
was so much easier. We were saying this the other night when the Proms were on, and
yeah,
you were like,
totally.
How does this compare to actually being there? I bet being there is a lot better.
Because I've only been to one Prom, and it's because you took me to see the Jarvis Cocker one.
Oh, which was awesome.
Which was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've got so much time for Jarvis Cocker. He's just something else.
Sir Jarvis, do you think?
Sir Jarvis. I really, I mean, I don't
like,
think
it'd be,
he,
but it'd be,
he
thanks,
wouldn't.
Thanks, Your Majesty. But unfortunately,
thanks, Madge.
I don't abide by.
He wouldn't be into it.
Titles
of course,
all.
He wouldn't be into
I'm
it.
I'm actually going to go back off and have a cup of tea. So see you later, Queenie.
Yeah, exactly. And then he just turned back to the fireplace. Like, oh man, I would love to see Jarvis Cocker again. Man. He's a festival act that always goes down well. I feel like we've gone in like a massive circle.
No, so but I think the fundamental, what you were saying earlier though, is do you think you'll be the same later on, right? Do you think that you'll be into all the stuff that's coming out, all the music that's coming out right there and then, and are you going to be bringing up your kids the same way, or are you going to be like, kids, settle down, it's about time I told you about the mountain goats?
That's the thing. I really hope I'm a combination of the two, and I think that also ties into what you were saying about musical instruments. I do want my kids to learn musical instruments. I started piano at 5, so slightly later than you, and I started lots and lots of instruments, and I think even playing music got me interested in it enough to, one, listen to my folks and be like, cool, Fats Waller is awesome, Eric Bid is awesome, I'm going to have all this stuff. But also you gain that confidence to also find some stuff out for yourself.
That's the crucial bit, yeah. I think, man. And I think some people like might have really overbearing parents, overbearing older siblings.
Yeah.
So that either their taste is just like, well, I like what my brother or my sister or my mum and dad listen to. Or the other way, they don't feel confident enough, like you say, to go out. That's the real joy, isn't it? Is actually
finding
being like,
that stuff.
There's all this stuff I picked up from my folks. Why do I like it?
Yeah.
Why am I now going to like this new thing?
And I think it's made me less of a dick about music.
Yeah.
Right now that I'm this age, because I was one of those teenagers that was like, I hate this and I hate that. And
anyone who listens to Justin Bieber.
Yeah, and I'm really angsty and I'm really angry. Whereas actually, I think it's really helped me grow up a bit and be like, I'm not angry about any of these things. I still think there are musicians who I really dislike and I think make bad music. But that is not a problem.
If someone enjoys them, that's fine.
Yeah, it now doesn't piss me off in the same way, which I think is really good. And I do think that when I have kids, I'd love to be able to sit them down and be like, there was this band called the Smashing Pumpkins, and they meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And they're now all dead after that boating accident. I'm just throwing ideas out. There.
Wanted to like boat to a specific Pacific
the
island.
Moon.
Boat to the moon.
Boat
hey
to the moon.
Everyone.
On the moon. And like even if they listen to 100 songs and go 99 of these are shit, one day when they're like 25, they might hear like Zero on some kind of golden oldies radio station.
Yeah.
They'll be like, My dad used to realise, this is cool, right?
I think, and that's the thing, isn't it? I think you kind of pick up the songs your parents like, whether or not they sit you down and listen to them.
I think
that's a really, you know, they're on in the house, they're like, you know.
Yeah.
I remember so many of those classical.
Yeah, it's the osmosis thing as opposed to teaching.
It wasn't like mum's having that. Oh, no, here you go, we're going to listen to Wagner's Fifth Symphony in D minor. And the thing you'll love is has the theme developed?
Listen to this bit. Da, 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 da.
And don't you love the subtonic plagal interlude he does there? No, fuck off. It'd just be, yeah. Music's great. Get your kids hooked on it. Big old intravenous music.
Absolutely.
Drug.
To completely round this off, by the way, I was just going to say, like, the final thought on this is, do you want your kids to ever listen to this?
Hell no.
Hell no. You don't want to leave any legacy of your comedy behind that think you might make your kids laugh.
Yeah, but this is kind of... I don't think I could play this to my kids until they're like 16.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
Which brings up problematic points to me, because we just release this on the internet. And
anyone can listen to it. but I don't know. I really like that thought that maybe like one day when we're like old men and maybe we've lost our buttons a little bit in the head, and to have like our grandkids be like, I found this thing of like granddad and his weird friend Paddy on the internet, and we're going to listen to it now, and it's just like. But everyone's and they look at us like rocking in our chairs, like like kind of get. I think that's really cool.
That's a lovely image. I don't think it'll happen that way.
I don't know, man.
Mate, if you found like your maybe that's true. If you found your dad's like, you know, college radio show now, that'd still be interesting.
I mean, I just
can't help but feel references are going to have moved on a lot. In
that's probably
years
very
to
true.
Make this really fucking.
And
weird.
I do. I feel the same about Baptist as well. I really hope that like I do want my kids.
Who
to make
is Farage?
Yeah, exactly. But they'll be like, oh my god, they're writing about all these like things that I know in history books,
or it'll be like now, of course, Archlord Farage.
Exactly.
The United Fox of England.
Wow, Boris Johnson was alive 200 years ago, like that, because he's just been frozen in place.
He's been slowly acquiring mass by absorbing
exactly.
lesser.
It's got a little gravitational pull of like
that's his
you know,
plan, man.
Race hate that just
John,
comes in.
You didn't see that John Kerry thing the other day, but he was just slowly going slobber. And his tendrils are coming out slowly, absorbing his life force.
Oh, man, we have just talked about everything.
Well, Boris, if you're listening in the year 2070...
Fuck you! Watch out for Clarence. He is a seagull. He's coming over for tea, so lock up your chips.
Toot, toot. What's that noise?
It's the sound of choose your own car.
car.
Adventure.
You
I meant
Adventure. We're bringing it back. Yeah, man. Like 2 weeks in a row. I just say we fucking
Let's
go.
Keep
for
it fruity.
Let's just keep it fruity. Now, do you remember where you left off last time?
Yeah, I'm standing over the defeated corpses. No, like you know, still yeah, living yeah. bodies.
The car full of the
definitely not from Top Gear.
The definitely not Tap Gear. Definitely not
Tap Gear.
Tap Gear. It's my new show where I dance
plumbing
for
materials.
You are standing over there, and remember, you are surrounded by some kind of guerrilla army that have jumped out of the ground.
Revolutionary army.
And Russo Alicante is still stood like this, holding
his
blades aloft and just farting uncontrollably.
Why?
Oh, because he's
one of your characters.
Yeah, exactly. He has to have some kind of bad gimmick.
Bad fart rate gimmick. Well, look, we've got him on the ropes. Let's move in, and we've got some questions, right? Who the hell are they?
Yeah, Matt.
Where
well,
they come
you,
from?
Have you got some questions?
I've got a load of questions, Pat.
All right, you approach the car. You hear this sort of the sound of four like quite old upper middle class men
ooh,
grumbling,
like straining out
ooh,
of tight.
I tell
denim.
You, my GP's not gonna like that one.
That there goes my thing. Lumbago once again.
Oh, not again. That sort of that kind of thing. So yeah, they're all struggling, but. Basically, they are restrained because they cannot get out of this upside-down car, but they're all alive and conscious.
Yeah, so I'm going to approach them and hopefully with Russo at my side and just say, who are you? Who sent you? Right. Where is she?
Russo comes over and goes, my friends, you thought you had us, didn't you? This is his voice, right? This
yes.
is Russo, like, that's it.
Vaguely Mediterranean.
You thought you had us, but remember, the resistance is always our one step ahead.
The resistance is...
And just as he says resistance, all of the people in the circle, like, raise their things and go, woo, 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 like, in, like, a perfect, like,
nice.
It's really cool, ooh. Like that. And Markson or Jarkson or Dingleman or whatever is fucking.
Remember your own name.
He looks up and goes, "All right, I guess I'll talk." And then to camera, I was going to have to talk, and it wasn't gonna be easy. Like that. Okay, and
thanks,
it's a smash. So yeah, ask away, man. Ask away.
All right, who sent you? Where are you? Who are you?
I would have thought your little friend here was able to tell you. We are the true owners of this land. Well, we're assistants to the owners. What? Well, we're we work for... well.
Oh, God.
We work for the Earl.
It's lucky that he's so inarticulate when you're exactly. reading the story.
We work for the Earl, the true leader of Wenis.
Wenis. What is this, man?
The Jewel of the South, they call it. And we're out here preparing for the big feast. But it seems you threw a spanner into our car. Works.
Into our works. So I was thinking about cars. You could tell, cars on the brain, man. Jesus, that's Wenis. I'm gonna turn to old Russo and say, Russo, where is that
looking,
where you're from?
He's looking far into the distance and he goes, Wenis.
God.
That is, of course, where I am from. And this man speaks a lie. You see, the Earl is not the true owner of Wenis. I am.
You are.
I am the
Why,
true owner
Russo?
Of Wenis. Well, my resistance and I, we are trying to take Wenis back from the Earl. He's come over here from Despotia, the evil kingdom to the north.
Oh my God.
And he is trying to take over and become the new leaders. They do not belong to this city. We belong to this city.
Is that
but
how that
unfortunately,
works?
They have much more money than us and are far more organized and much better at this sort of thing. So we are not doing so well in the resistance.
Why is it now the resistance? I'm going to ask you.
The resistance are a blight on the Earl.
No, not them. You, the Russo. Russo, why are you suddenly dropping your R's all over the place, mate?
Ah,
is that just because Paddy fancies
all
fun?
Will become clear, but enough idle chatter in this barren place.
Oh, okay.
We must get them back to the Wonderground where...
There are even
and
R's
in before
that
you can think, all of the strings are off the guitars and the violin bows, and I knocked over a glass of water, but
it's fine.
And they're all running over and they're tying them up and all this, and they've made sort of cable ties to the back of the cars, and their horses are also disguised horses jump out of the ground.
Horses just with
their attached to the back, and now Russo and jumps onto the back of the car and is riding it like a sort of chariot as it starts to turn around, and he goes, "We must make haste to the Underground Lair."
Why is he saying
in
it like that?
In Wenis.
Oh, God.
Well, I guess I guess I'm going to have to go with them.
It
doesn't
seem
as much of an option to just leave and go and find something else to do.
And in the background, you hear, "Don't mind about us. You guys are just taking a hair. We'll meet you at the." And you've got Grubbins and you've got Barbossa and Oliver, who missed all the action, of course, because they were ground support. They're coming up behind you and they're sort of, "Well, just walk with some of these guys. You know, the guys with the bigger instruments."
That's good. I'm so glad they're going to be around for the rest of this.
"Wait, don't worry. I'm sure you'll miss us on your really long journey." "Okay, bye." Like that. And you all start making for the north, assuming that you'd like to go with them.
No, I'm going to just sit here and not do anything. No, let's do it. I want to go see Wenis.
You want to go see Wenis. So the journey is relatively uneventful, but what I'm saying is as we start to crest over the hill, you see this
in the underground lair.
We're going to the underground lair in Wenis. Okay. So as you crest the hill, you see this beautiful city that's sort of amazing architecture, and you can see sort of there are sort of like statues everywhere, pillars, like all this sort of things, lots of canals going on, like, you know, lots of, there's a smell of really good, like good quality Italian food.
You see
food,
all this over like, the, like, a long way away.
Yeah, exactly. You can smell the food.
See the detail.
You can
hear
the songs. You can
look at that cat over there.
It's absolutely beautiful, and it's surrounded by this sort of lake, but and it's like twining in and out of this lake. It's a very, very beautiful sight to behold.
Oh, it's like I'm there.
And he goes, "Wenis, my true home. I'm sorry if that seemed a little bit fast, by the way, but basically, I might need your help a little bit more than what's
originally." Oh, what is it? What does he want? He want my butt again.
So he was talking about this man, the Earl. The Earl is not the rightful owner of our kingdom, as I said. It is me. I am actually King Russo Alicante.
Yeah?
I was beaten off my... what is the chair?
Beaten off?
Well, I was beaten off. I was just... hello.
I was wanked off.
I was wanked off. What's the chair that the king sits
throne.
In? Throne. I was sitting on my throne one day and suddenly all of these stupid dicks, they show up. Why am I becoming French? These stupid dicks, they show... That is it. It's Russo. Sorry. They show up and they kick me off my throne. They kick me out of my city.
Oh, no.
And I have managed to round up all of the men that are still loyal to me, and we plan on taking back this great city.
Oh, who's in charge? Who's this Earl guy then? You said he came from the north.
He came from the north. He's not very bright. Shall we put it this way? He seems to be a very good politician. He seems to be quite bloodthirsty, but I just don't feel like he has it in him. I think he is some kind of puppet, maybe what? For a greater evil.
What's he doing?
He's sitting in the throne. He's raising taxes for anyone with a pan-European accent, maybe. He is very, very what they used to call in the history books English. And we do not like them. They have lots of colonial atrocities. They are coming here. I cannot stop making him French. I am ever so. But he is raising taxes. People are dying on the streets. And even the Alicante family has been imprisoned. Except for me. Because I managed to get away to meet you. Because I needed to.
That's sure is
remember,
lucky.
Like, I needed to come south for docks or something. And then it all kicked off. But do not worry. We have a little lair that we keep underground the city.
Oh,
we call
lovely.
It the where.
And why?
Because no one knows where.
Oh,
my friend.
No. Where is the where?
Where is the where? That is a secret code to get in. You can remember that, my friend.
Where is the where? I can tell there's some really, really like, what you've done is you've made this incredibly rich language in a fantasy world.
Oh, yes, I know. It is like the Drogo language.
The Drogo language,
yeah, exactly. Valyrian. Yeah, but it is like Valyrian, or the one that the guys on the Khalasar speak. What's it called? What's the one that they speak?
Khal Drogoese.
Yeah, what's it? What's Drogoese. That called?
Drogoese.
Bullshit.
Khaleesi.
Why not? It is one of them. Anyway, I'm glad you like Game of Thrones as well. I saw that we are getting closer to winning. Now, so
it
becomes more and more different as you get there. We will take these men prisoner. And look, I am the head of this resistance. I'm ever so sorry, I forgot to mispronounce some letters. The resistance, and good boy, it's tough work being head of a resistance these days.
Ooh.
I've got to sort some things out in the city. I will introduce you to some of my companions, and if you are willing to help us, they have a couple of tasks for you.
Oh.
Of course, you will be paid kindly when I am king again.
In what?
In Wienis.
What is Wienis? Oh, I said, yeah.
King.
I'm not in Wienis.
Oh, no, you won't be paid in Wienai. You will be paid in Wold and Wilver, Wemerals and Wobies.
Why do you keep doing the W thing, man? What is this?
It is a secret language.
Oh.
This is the first lesson you must learn on your enter into Wienis. When you move around the city, this is a city that is torn.
Okay.
We have the Republic of the Earl on one side and the Resistance of me, Wusso Alicante, on one
resistance
side.
Resistance of Wusso.
Resistance of Wusso on the other side, okay?
Wusso's Wanderers.
Wusso's Wanderers, the worst wanderers in the West. sometimes it is not clear where people's allegiances lie, but there is always one surefire way of knowing.
Uh-huh.
If they pronounce their R's or V's as Wubble Woos, they are using the secret code of the West.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Resistance. You must never let this secret out, because then we would be ruined.
Well, what happens if someone overhears me speaking like that? Surely they'd know.
No. Another thing is everyone has very bad hearing. They are all very, very bad at...
Eavesdropping.
It is very convenient for the setting, isn't it?
Yes.
So if someone uses the woos in the right way, Wu knew that they are the worst wanderers in the west of Wusso's Alicante's resistance. If they use ours like a dick...
Like an ass.
Ours are for asses, woos are for resistors.
Wizards.
Woos are for wizards. Down, you must blend in.
Okay, so I'm sure that won't be a problem.
You better get used to that. I bet that won't come up again when I forget to do it next time. So that's the first thing you should learn. I have a number of friends back at the lair, but enough of this idle badinage. Allow us to feast. And just as that, the sort of car chariot, as you're approaching like the road to Wienus, yeah. Right, it takes like a sharp left, and you notice that underneath like the side of the lake, there's a sort of little like it's all this brush, and these two little guys pop up and they move these trees out of the way, and it's all dun 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 dun, dun, and everyone like sneaks in like
really. And the 43.
Yeah, exactly. No, this way. Like that, and everyone's coming in. And then, by the way, Barbossa and Grubbins and Oliver Fun have caught up at this point, but I'm unwilling to do their voices.
Fine.
So
that is fine by me.
And now, I would have expected this underground lair to be better. Is what I'm going to first say about this.
That's a very hard thing for me to unpack. Yeah. You, who invented this lair, the whole setting, expected me to be better than what you're about to say. That fills me with confidence, man.
Yeah, it's so for a resistance headquarters...
Is it just like a hole?
It's not great.
Okay,
it's very big. It turns out, like, basically, I think, from the architecture, it looks like lots of the little underground tunnels used to be canals, or at least the basins of canals,
right.
That have now been sort of filled in with concrete. And this is... what?
Filled in with concrete, like when they started building the parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. When they started putting all the restaurants on it, you know, and the Earl moved in. So like, it's like there is it's sort of a network of tunnels that comes out into these big rooms, and they've sort of got a room for everything. Like there is a little shop. There seems to be somewhere where they're like smithing weapons and stuff like that. There's like one thing with like a big oak table that's like got all these like pieces on it, as if it's like a sort of war
game.
Room. Exactly, the game. And they've got like a sort of war room, and there are genuine places to live in there. There are little like nooks and crannies where like you can assume people's families are living, or just people who don't want to live under the rule of this guy.
Okay.
And everyone looks a bit unwashed and a bit tired, as if it's been quite a hard month. I burped as I said that. Did you hear
horrid.
That? Sorry, that was really bad. It's been quite a hard month for everyone, right? So it's looking that, and Russo turns around and is just like, welcome, and suddenly all these like little chefs come out, like little chefs. You know the logo of Little Chef,
yeah.
So they look just like them.
Why?
Okay, no, it's great. Like, they seem to be these little kind of
magic... Don't tell me how to feel about little chefs.
These little magic men, right? And they're these tiny little white men, big chef's hats, yeah. Okay? And they're coming, they're throwing food all right in there. And for people living underground, this food is astonishing.
Wow, okay?
Like, he was like, this is the best food in the world, my friend. Luckily, all the chefs were part of the resistance. You know, and they're sort of, he's like, I see you looking at them. They are small magic creatures, but they are very loyal to people who are angry or people who are bigger than them, fortunately. So they work for us. We call them the little chefs.
That is convenient.
They get messages around the city for us, and of course, they cook the finest.
Venetian.
Yeah, Venetian cuisine in the whole world.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, food is getting thrown out, and everyone gathers, and you actually, like, it's this big, like, sort of eating hall, and you actually, the resistance is, there's quite a lot of them.
Wow, okay.
And they all eat together, Russo, sits down with you, and basically, you everyone's being fed, and it's very, very nice. We have a long night ahead of me, my friend. Now, when this meal finishes, there are three people I would like you to meet, basically, three places I would like you to go. You'll get the chance to look around the city.
I have very little choice about whether I want to do this, by the way. I'm just going to go and see the sights, mate.
Interject at any time, though. Like, you can totally shoot him down if you want.
I just want to get to the bottom of his stupid voice.
I know, he seems to really want to just get on with stuff, and who can blame him? I mean, you know, he's in a lot of wobble. He says, there are three
things. Got a T in it, Paddy.
All resistance need things to succeed, okay? And we want to attack the Earl. So I'm going to need some favours from you. Firstly, we need to establish some supply lines for weaponry.
Easy tasks, then.
I know a lot of the people there, but sometimes they are a bit hairy on whether or not they will give you the discounts, whether or not they will provide you with the steel, that sort of thing. They are all in the Alforno district.
Like, oven-baked district.
Yeah, it's in between the Primo district and the Secundi district. it's very... go to Antipasti. Antipasti, head south, okay.
Pasti Peschi.
Yeah, it's not into carne. No. So I need you to go there, establish some supply lines with the local merchants, get them on our side. You see what I'm saying? Okay.
Sounds really easy.
And also, we need a way in. When we eventually attack the capital, they have put up all these big fences all around. Okay, it is not very, very good. Okay, so we need to find a way in. I mean, I think there may be some kind of entrance. This is an ancient city. It was built to have all kinds of nooks and crannies and passages.
Okay, scout an entrance.
I need you to be the man who finds a way in. And thirdly, and this is perhaps the most troubling. We have an inside man. He is a spy of some renown. We call him the Crab.
The Crab. Not the Quab.
He was last seen about 2 days ago in the Quab. I have a sorry. He's called a Quab. Okay, he's a Quab man. We last saw him in the Berlusconi district. It is northwest.
What happens in the Berlusconi district?
Lots of
parties. Lots of sex. Corruption.
Lots of drinking. Lots of wine. Lots of people with...
And AC Milan.
Lots of people with different accents, hopefully. they are all there, but he is normally our inside man. He keeps us side on the establishment and lets us know what is going on with the Earl and his friends.
Paddy, at that moment, is having a little... He's tapping the side of his ear very gently.
You hear the people singing the song
Songs
of
Angry Men?
They are the song of Wusso Alicante. Anyway,
Angry Men.
We have not heard from him in 2 days hence. So is that the use
of correct? In 2 days time? No. We haven't heard from him in 2 days.
In 2 days past. So I need you to go and find him. He was last seen hanging around the corner of Burlo and Stony in the Berlusconi district.
That's very convenient.
If you could sort these things out for me, and just as he's doing that, he's finishing his last coffee of the meal. He's put a little bit of, grappa in it, and he's hoisting up the tapas, and he's just taking a few of them, putting in his pockets.
Hoisting up the tapas?
Have you never hoisted up the tapas at a tapas bar?
Mate, that sounds like you're attaching it to a sail, and above everyone. Hoist up the tapas, gentlemen, it's time to go!
No, I think of hoisting up food, right? Like,
you do hoist up
that
food.
Thing when you've been
you
in, like,
have like these two like it's like yeah, two pelicans little, beaks
yeah just
on your hand.
No, that would be scooping up the tapas. Like no hoisting
oh,
the tapas
sorry, yeah, it's very
when you've had a shared meal and there's still some little bits left over, just as you get up to leave and everyone turns away, you just rifle a couple
put
of them
one in your pocket. Is that why you never buy food?
Yeah, exactly. I just bring them back here and eat them later. A little kofta, no problem. Yeah, exactly. Savory egg, why not, my friend? So he's hoisting up tapas, but I must go. The city is your oyster, but remember, use the wobble woos if you're wanting to wet anywhere. And then, in a flash of smoke, he's gone.
Wow. That was an experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so where am I going to go first? How do I get into the town from here? I don't want to talk to any of these tertiary characters.
It's fine, you don't have to. Luckily, you know those fire exit signs?
Is that what you saw?
There's quite a few of them. And they all lead to like the outside world, and you normally like it comes out of sewers.
There are quite a few of them, and they go anywhere.
They go anywhere, basically. No, like it takes you up out of the sewers, and there are signs down here as if this used to be a system that people used anyway. So you can sort of find your way under the ground.
Lucky.
Yeah, it's very lucky, isn't it? It's really
well.
Good.
Let's get back to the surface and see what we're dealing with, man. We need to find some kind of way of getting around town, I guess.
Yes, that is very, very true. I mean, I think
there a bus.
There's probably a bus.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be quite fun. So, your choices stand. You could just go and have a look around, but your choices do stand. You could head for the Alforno district.
Okay.
You could head to, which is where the supply lines are. You could head to the Berlusconi district to try and find this missing spy. Or you could just start looking for a way in, which I guess would mean heading towards the Earl's castle.
Oh, that sounds pretty. Let's try and get a lift to the. Let's go to the Alforno district. I like the sound of it, man. It's
okay.
Like baked in.
Okay, cool. Alright, so the Alforno is just, there's a couple of signs underground that say Alforno, and they follow you as if, you know, it's everything's laid out like a menu. It's quite easy to get around. So you head up to the Alforno district, and there's like a circular grate above you on a little ladder.
A manhole cover.
And you can pop your little head out if you want, or if you can, or...
Or what?
Or well, I don't know. Or you...
I guess I'll put my head out.
Yeah, okay.
Like that.
All right, okay. So
I wonder what's going to happen.
You can pop your little head out. Okay. Now, it's silent in this cavern, right? But the second you lift up the manhole cover, there is the sounds of a bus. Exactly. It's huge market. Yeah, exactly. And there's that comedy moment where someone steps on the manhole and it dunks you on the head.
Oh,
and
I'm so glad I did that.
Yeah, and you lose 2 HP.
Great. Why did you ask me if I wanted to do that?
You didn't. You know, you didn't check for traps.
What any traps?
Didn't roll perception, did you, Laurie? So you pop your head out of the little thing, and yeah, there's this huge bustling market scene going on around you, and all the smells of all these kind of amazing things that you smelled some of downstairs. But people are walking around. They've got like lobsters on sticks and shrimp and grits and all this.
Shrimp
kind of
and grits.
Shrimp and grits, man. There's so much shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits.
You've had shrimp and grits.
No.
You had it with me in New York. And
I didn't
Mr.
have
Phelps.
Grits with you.
Yeah, you had grits.
You had
shrimp and grits.
I didn't have grits.
Oh, grits is good.
Fuck
now.
Grits, man.
All right, fine. There's shrimp and grits, and there's people selling oysters, and there's people all this kind of thing. And yeah, you are in the middle of this bustling, bustling market. As you look around, most of the stalls are food-based, and most of the people are very busy knocking things over and all this kind of thing. The only weaponry thing that you can see is there is a man, right? Okay, and he stood in this stall, and the stall says, Lasagna and Swords.
Lasagna and Swords.
By Ponyo. Okay?
By Ponyo?
Ponyo. Okay.
It's and a little fish.
There is a man that stood there and he's banging a sword against like a, what, one of those dishes you cook lasagna.
An oven dish.
I thought they had like a cool name, but
no,
that's fine. An oven dish. And he's
shows how many oven dishes you've been around, mate.
And he's going, hey, hey, like that. And he's properly, like, he's very Italian.
Good.
And he's going, okay, get your lasagna, get your swords, all at the same place, all for one night. Only it's gonna be the best night ever.
Lasagnas and swords. I mean, that does sound like quite a useful supply hookup. Let's go see him. Let's go ask him for a supply line.
So you you head on over. There is a big queue. Okay,
oh,
there is
you.
A big queue, and there is one chef sort of like running to like that, while Ponyo is just hitting the thing, going, "So I tell lasagna," like that, and everyone's going, "I'll get two lasagnas, I want four lasagnas, I want all this kind of stuff," and this guy's piling them up like this, and then basically you are stuck at the back of the queue, so you can either wait your turn.
Fuck yeah, should we just do that?
Yeah, you could
wait
20 minutes.
Wait
of
for
silence. 25 minutes of silence, or you could
yeah,
see what
I'm gonna
you could see if you could go to the front, or you
I'm
could
not
go...
okay. Oh, okay. What I'm gonna do is. This is a city on hard times, right?
Yeah.
Got my street magic.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to do some kind of coin trick. Like, it involves, like in Assassin's Creed, you know?
Oh, like tossing the coins.
Tossing the coins,
oh,
but
man.
They're not coins. They're actually little poos.
Little poos?
Little poos.
How have you disguised them as coins?
Street magic.
Oh, street magic. It's all an illusion.
Yeah, mate.
All right, okay. If you could give me a roll of three.
What is this? Transmute poop spell that I've got handy. Oh, okay.
Okay, all right. So you sort of... Is it coming out of like a sack or something?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Little bag of tricks or something like that?
Yeah, I've got a pre-prepared satchel of little dried poops.
Yeah, okay. All right, okay. So you fling your arm in a sort of motion like
aha!
This. And all these little poops go out. And all, like, literally every head in the queue turns. And then there's just this... like that, a dog pile of... I'll get the coins! Like that. And basically, they are now occupied. But you start seeing people emerge with little handfuls of coin, going, now I can buy 10 lasagnas, now I can buy 12 lasagnas, and they start bum-rushing all the way to the front, okay, and this stall is now shaking with people who are going, I want 40 lasagnas, I want all this, and then the little chef who's running with all the dishes goes, you know what, fuck this, okay, and he drops all these lasagna plates, Brett, and he goes, I've been working here for 23 hours a day, every day, for 10 weeks, okay, and I haven't been paid yet, you know what I get paid in? I get paid in lasagnas, and you know what, I can't make this many lasagnas, I don't like lasagnas, as a matter of fact, I don't like Ponyo, I don't like working here,
I don't think I'd set all this in motion just by doing my little trick.
And Ponyo's like, I'm my friend, this is the business, we need to get in, and he's like, Ponyo, you know what, fuck off, because that's it, I'm done. And he just, like, throws his little towel on the floor and walks out.
Throws in the little towel.
And all these people are crowding around Ponyo, like, and they're starting to pull at his shirt, and they're starting to, all this, I need the meat and the cheese right now! And he goes, whatever am I going to do? And there's a sort of freeze frame.
Man, I mean, this is a very seamless story. I mean, I think I'm going to have to help, aren't I? I don't have any...
If someone were to help me, I would sure owe them a big favour.
Yeah, cool, then let's go up to him. We'll go, oh, mate, here I am. Lasagnas, what do you want?
Who are you? Are you a chef?
No, but I can make lasagna.
You know how to make a lasagna?
I think I do.
I tell you what, my friend, if I could hire you just for this afternoon, just for now, just to feed these hungry, hungry people, then I don't know what I could offer, but I'm sure we could... Look, will you help me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So. Okay, great. Okay, he throws you... Right, okay.
Done.
He turns to you immediately, throws a tea towel at you, right? He, like, doof, hits you in the face, little apron, chef hat, okay. And he's like, just fucking sort it out, okay? You can make all of them in this vat. Okay.
Now they're behind... You made lasagna before, mate.
Sure.
Make it in a vat.
This vat is like a big... Okay, it's like a big baking dish then.
Oh.
So that you can make one giant lasagna. And he goes, the menu's on the wall. Okay.
What's in the menu?
Okay, so you turn and look at the menu and it says lasagna in big letters.
Good.
Now we're basically initiating a skills challenge now.
Whoa!
Okay, so like, there's going to be many stages to this skill challenge. The first one is you're looking up and down this menu, right? And you cook lasagna. You know what's in a lasagna, right?
Horse.
Yep.
Hey.
Hey. Findus gags. Yeah, let's... Yeah.
Contemporary.
Yeah, take that.
So...
You know what's in a lasagna, right? Yeah, and you're looking up and down the ingredients and it's got all the measurements, right? So you need 200 grams of this
cool.
One portion.
Nice.
Blah, 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 blah.
Easy.
However,
skills.
it's only bloody in Venetian.
Oh, shit.
So, like, what you need...
So
it's
like, wince.
Yeah.
Wince.
Exactly. So, woo 100 whams of wince.
Oh, good.
Won't woos the wawatos. Like, all that kind of stuff. And it's a really, like, it's complicated. You could probably work it out, but you've got all of these ingredients beneath it, and they're all, like, weird weenus ingredients.
Oh,
ingredients. Weenus ingredients. So there's, like, there's things that you think might be tomatoes, but they appear to be sort of moving a little bit.
Oh, shit, okay.
And, like, there's mince, but that mince could very easily be ground olives. You're not quite sure.
What am I going to do, man? Like, maybe it's just, like, I can either do, like, an intelligence check and kind of try and do it, right?
Yeah.
Or I could... chance it somehow.
You could take a luck test.
Okay.
You could, what else have you got? You dexterity, you could run back and forwards with Ponyo going, what's this? Tell me what this is.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, what else could you do? Strength, you could just pick everything up.
Man, I'm gonna go for one even further. I'm gonna go for a bluff check, right? I'm just gonna make it up. I'm gonna use my dwarves are notoriously shit at cooking.
So you're gonna use your instincts.
And just like, instead of like looking to like sniff it, like just like stick my fist in it, be like, yeah, that's the right consistency.
Okay.
I'm just gonna wing it. Entirely wing it.
Okay.
And I'll see what happens.
Give me three dice then.
Okay.
Okay, cool. That's pretty well. Okay, pick them up again. Okay, so you start, you look kind of like, you pause for a second, and then you start going, oh yeah, hang on. You're picking up a handful of mints, you're throwing it behind you, it's landing in the thong like that. And then you're picking up, like, slightly, maybe too many tomatoes and throwing them back and so like that, but you look really confident.
Good, that's
and Ponyo turns and goes, my friend, you know what you're doing, right? And I want you to just roll one more dice for me.
Ooh,
oh yeah, and you just give him this little smirk. That's like,
no, I'm just going to go, hey buddy, wink.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, oh, I'm definitely in the white hands here. Like, oh, that's sometimes. Apparently, I'm this guy now.
Apparently.
Oh, man.
I'm Chris Rock.
I'm so glad that you're that good at cooking. Like that. He just trusts you. And by, because he trusts you, the customers are sort of now watching. Oh. They eat at this lasagna stand every day, right? Lasagna and swords is the best lasagna in all of Alforno.
It's something new cooking.
Yeah, exactly. And there's something new cooking. And you're starting to, like, you're starting to sort of get into the groove.
Is
like
it,
this.
Is the music from Chef coming?
Yeah, exactly. And you're sort of throwing stuff, and like, you know, it's starting to get a bit colourful, and you're, yeah, and you're starting to sing stuff like
that. My little impressionable son there tweeting in the corner as well.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And people are starting to be like, wow, and everyone's starting to dance a bit, and everyone in the street is like, yeah, a bit of a food street party happening now, and now it means a bigger crowd is gathering.
Pressure.
Yeah, there is now pressure, but you know what? You're actually coping under that pressure very, very well. Can I just roll for the crowd very quickly? Oh, man. Double six. They are all, like, so on your side.
Coming.
So
Ponyo's
like, okay, I guess there's a new dog in town. Let's let him do it. Like that. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah. And, like,
oh,
and,
my God.
And you're now cooking. You're like, it's really beautiful to watch you doing this. So now you've basically thrown all the ingredients into a perfectly arranged, like lasagna.
Like in Ratatouille.
Like that on the thing. And everyone's going, whoa, like that.
Nice.
Right, so now you've got to cook the thing.
Oh, shit, okay.
Now you've got to cook it. So I want you to think up how you're going to do that.
Well, has he got an oven?
He has an oven, but you know what? If you use the oven, you're going to have to do it in like four or five separate dishes. You might be slowing down the process. And you've now got people like...
Shit. Well, oh, man. Yeah. Elemental magic. I'm going to just rustle up some fire, innit? That's easy.
He's going to rustle up some fire.
I'm going to hand cook it.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, so...
Maybe I'll make like I'll just kind of hoist it up a bit on like a big like winch. I don't know if there's a winch.
Oh, there's a winch.
In the kitchen. Of course.
There's a winch.
And I'm going to stand under it and I'm just going to kind of put my hands on it and I'm going to like maybe by moving my hands around try and give it an even warmth.
Oh, cool. So you're like, that. Okay, cool. Can you give me a roll of three for that?
What?
Okay.
Oh, that's
all right.
Good.
So, like, you're doing that, and you're like, you've winched it up, and everyone's like, "Whoa!" like that, and you come under it, and you're like, "Yeah!" and then this electricity just goes, grrr, and
it just, oh no, I'm microwaving it instead.
And it's like, yeah, exactly. And you're starting to grrr, like that, and so it's starting to get really crisp on the outside,
and
it's starting to like, you know, when like lightning strikes something, and it goes,
it makes a pattern.
So little patterns are coming up, and I'm gonna need you to roll four dice for me now.
Oh my god, okay. For what? I'm gonna find out.
Roll four dice for me, because this could go. Oh man! Okay, so this, as the electricity goes through, it operates the same as fire, and it is cooking it in a way. But you are forming, right, because you're a bit big for your boots, you're forming, like, little replicas of the statues, like, around
little
the
square. Little swan necks
little
come out of it.
Little swan necks come out, and there are pillars raising out of it, and the pillars raise, like, a separate section of lasagna on top.
But in the middle, can it be, like, a beaming face of, what's his name, of Ponyo, like, in the middle, like, hands.
Yeah, exactly. He's holding a sword like that. It's doom, doom, like that. And someone's playing slap bass.
It's a disco ball.
And people are like, whoa, like, holy shit.
It's getting hot in here.
It's amazing. Like,
oh,
all
wow,
that.
Man.
Okay, man.
I nailed it.
Yeah, you have absolutely nailed it. Okay, and now you've got to serve it up, my friend. Now you've got to serve it up.
Like a lasagna slice?
For this skills challenge, you're going to need the greatest skill of them all.
What is it?
Maths. Okay, so,
what,
right,
mate,
basically...
Mate, what is this bit?
You have 16 and a half kilos of lasagna.
I didn't play this game to be educated.
Have, no, listen carefully, because I'm only going to say it once.
Oh,
you have 16 and a half kilos of lasagna, okay? You have... there are about 45 customers.
45
Each customer
customers.
Wants, on average, 2.5 portions. And a
why?
Portion... A portion, because they're taking
is...
it back to their friends.
Right.
A portion is 250 grams.
Hang on, slow down, sir. It's 250 grams. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So they want that. Now, you need to evenly distribute that. Now, we could sit here and do the mathematics,
yeah.
But... I'm already bored. So I said you're going to do one dice roll for this.
Oh shit, okay.
And you can use intelligence or wisdom. But you're
I'm
a magician.
Neither wise nor intelligent.
Yeah, exactly. So let's do
go
that.
For
so
wicked,
this is for how well you divide.
Wicked Wango wisdom, serve me well.
So, right, basically, you are at the peak of everyone's adoration for you. You're holding aloft this amazing sculptured lasagna that's the best lasagna Ponyo's ever seen. Exactly, and then you lower it down, and you take out this big knife as if you're about to cut it, and you just go, boop, and put it in the top, and hand it to the nearest guy. And you're like, there you go, next please. And this guy is like, wow, fantastic! And then Ponyo's like, what are you doing? We're out of ingredients! Now, as this guy's walking around with this giant lasagna, the crowd, like all turn at once, and they're all film. Like, yeah, and they're all like dribbling a bit, and they're like, the best lasagna, the best, and this, like, they just pounce on him, okay?
Oh, shit.
And they just tear him limb from limb. There is like viscera, oh, and like his stomach, and, and they're eating him with the lasagna hell, by accident, okay. And they're like,
now, I guess I know now that maths has real life applications.
Yes, I should have listened in school. And all of that. And Ponyo turns to you and he puts his arm and goes, that was the best chefing I have seen in my entire life. God, I mean, yes, a man is dead and Ponyo head be it. But, get it?
Oh, his Ponyo.
Name's Ponyo. But I ain't seen somebody cook lasagna like that in a year. And luckily, that man left this enormous bag of gold.
is lucky.
And now, I don't even need to make lasagna anymore. I can focus on my true passion, which is swords. And he pulls out this, like, katana.
Mate.
And he's like a Tory Hanzo. he's like a Tory Hanzo. He's
oh, like, we meant, like, as in a Tory Hanzo.
Oh, yes. He's like,
now, look here, I made this sword, but I'm only going to give it to the highest bidder.
Yes, exactly. I'm very sorry, Bill, but someone's going to kill you one day, so I might sell it to the bride instead. So, yeah, he's like a Tory Hanzo, or the guy in Witcher who's like of Love and Dumplings, the Hanzo guy who
has,
oh man, it's spoilers. Really, really cool. Oh, sorry. Anyway, yeah, so he's like, oh, I can focus on swords. How can I ever thank you, my friend?
Mate, wait, it's funny you say that, mate. It's funny you like swords, mate. It's funny you're good at making swords, mate, and lasagna, mate, because
you need...
I represent the resistance, my friend, and I wink.
Now,
wink.
And you wink at him. Okay, he puts his finger up, and you both like go down under the table a bit, and he goes, wow. I didn't see this. On the way. Well, you should have mentioned earlier that you were one of the resistance. I guess maybe we could come to some kind of agreement. Arrangement. If you know what I'm way. He's got a bit sexy, hasn't he?
Mate, can the resistance rely on your support in the upcoming wars?
You will have a William Swords. And he gives you the little secret handshake. Like, which is just wiggling.
Wiggle.
And he goes... And then at the end, you both do this. Like that. And then like you high five. And he's like, cool, alright, I'll call you. And you're like, great, okay, see you later, man. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, and you walk... Dude, you just...
Swords and lasagna. That was for the resistance.
And I want to make it clear that Ponyo's shop, like, he has an empire of food stands around.
Oh, okay, so this is one.
Yeah, he's now able to just, like, supply with smithery.
Mate,
well done. Congratulations. Sweet. Well, I guess you're going to have to go on to the next quest. Next time. So have a good one, Laurie.
Hey,
and
you
thank
too.
You for joining us on...
And remember, maths is your friend.
Maths is your friend. So won't wobbly wub wub win wong wong. Did you get that? I don't think anyone will get that.
No. His name is Pablo. The Spanish spider. Ooh, he wore a pair of espadrilles. And drank cider. But then one day in his spidery head, he was hit by a feeling of spidery dread. His shoes didn't fit and his boots ran dry. Like that he was gone in the blink of an eye. His name is Pablo.
Yeah.
The Spanish spider.
Oh.
He'll stop at nothing.
No way.
To find cider. He drove all of the day, then he stopped for the night, where a Larry Chihuahua challenged him to a fight. So he took off his shoes, revealing big little fists, and he went to Spider Town on the tongue of a bitch. Oh, his name is Pablo.
Oh, yeah, it is.
The Spanish spider.
Mm.
He's got a savage Basque fighting style, and he'll slice. And a tune rang out from his fiery phone, a call from his widow who was waiting at home. She said,
Pablo, honey, I bought you cider and beer. Put on your espadrilles, get your ass back here.
His name is Pablo, the Spanish spider. Back with his wife and espadrilles and smooth cider. Nice, Pablo. Well, that's about all we've got time for this week, isn't it, ladies and gents? Thanks so much for listening. Paddy,
would you rather?
Would I rather what? Mate, it's time to finish. Oh,
I'm sure it's time to finish, Rory, but you know what? This new
we've
thing
left
of,
out our weekly feature.
Yeah, this
almost.
New thing about weekly features has started to make me shit my britches on a daily basis.
That's not something you should be celebrating, man.
What? No, you know what?
You're shitting your britches on a daily. What? No. How is there at all a positive spin on that?
Would you still be friends with me if I shit my britches, but I had to wear a nappy?
this my would my rather?
No.
No. Would my rather.
No, this is personal. This is something they shouldn't
If you
hear.
Shout yourself into a nappy every day, it depends. If I'd known that from the start, probably if I met you now and that was your thing, I think, when you meet someone.
Yeah.
And they're, like, very friendly, but you're like, I'm going to position myself in such a way that a close friendship will be hard to maintain between
I was
us.
Literally about to know say yes, mean? Like, and then name someone. And then I realised that that would be the nastiest possible thing I could say on like, a public forum like this.
Like, Zach. Shh. Zach.
Yeah, no, I have people like that.
Yeah, I've got a list.
You've got a list.
I'm gonna publish it. I like midnight the idea tonight. That
you've got a reason by each of them. It's like always shits pants.
Craps.
Secondly, has craps. Yeah. Third, craps a lot. Like that. Yeah, I think so. I wanted to bring in. Would you rather again? We got to keep on top of this, man. Okay.
Give me my options.
Right. Okay. Would you, Laurie? Hello. Would you rather have a magic fedora? Bear with me.
Ooh.
That allows you to charm anyone.
Okay.
If you say either the words "milady" or "milord," and you have to doff that magic fedora, but then they are charmed. They're not. I'm not saying they're in love with you. Like
no, but
I'm not saying like that.
They're on
like,
board.
Yeah,
they're on
they
board.
Suddenly go, "Oh, hello, this man." And maybe they
you just touch my clavicle.
Yeah,
really
they touch your clavicle and they go, "Oh," like that,
clavicle?
And then suddenly they are totally enamored.
Yeah, I get it.
You can have this magic fedora, and by the way, it doesn't have the consequences of that fedora. Are that maybe thereby if you... not that you'd say m'lady or m'lord by accident, but maybe people might become too entranced with you.
I see, yeah,
it's
yeah.
perhaps
monkey's
an
paw.
Issue.
Okay.
It's a bit of monkey's paw. Or you can run 5 times faster than usual.
Okay.
You can run 5 times faster than you as long as you hold your arms out like this and make aeroplane noises.
Oh, wow. So okay. Instant question about the running. Is my top speed 5 times faster, or can I like I can accelerate 5 times faster as well?
Oh, I see. No, I think it's that your top speed. Let's say like your top speed is 5 times faster than someone who is considered very fast. So I'm not saying you're 5 times faster than Usain Bolt, but let's say you could do
be about 3 times faster than Usain
you could
Bolt.
Do 500 meters in 10 seconds.
So that is exactly.
No, hang on. Let's say you like it takes you 13 to 14 seconds to run 500 meters.
That's
but you
a
do
very
and
fast.
You have 5 times the amount of energy. So normally for that sort of sprint you probably expend all
oh,
your
so
energy.
So the usual like quicksilver come out. It's like okay.
Absolutely. So you could do it, but you have to do the airplane.
And my body could withstand it.
Your body could withstand it. I'm not saying or you could have the body of Usain Bolt with 5 times better. I'm saying you retain everything about
I'm not going to burst into flames. Mate, the running. Was the magic fedora?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not that I'm the most charming person ever, but I find it okay to talk to people.
Yeah.
And just having the stigma of it being a magic fedora is enough for me to be like, no.
But like, it's
enough. I'm not changing social conventions.
I'm gonna argue for the magic fedora briefly,
that's
just because I want an element
is
of balance.
Is that how this works?
Well, that's the thing. So it's like the magic fedora, yes. I mean, on the surface, that might seem slightly like, well, I could just be nice to people in that. But also, I'm talking everything from job interviews you could meet someone very famous and immediately they'd be like, this is my guy.
But that'd be terrible if all the connections you made were just because of the magic fedora. You'd have no genuine working relationships.
No, but the magic...
Don't put your hands together. What is it?
The magic fedora in regards to you, and this isn't meant to be too sickly sweet, but what it is like... So, for instance, let's say I'm Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who doesn't like J-Law? Everyone likes J-Law.
Right.
What I'm not saying that she meets you and goes, oh, who the fuck is this? And then you cast a spell that means that she has to be immediately like, oh, he's brilliant. It allows her to obtain the accumulated knowledge of what it is like to be friends with you. And appreciate you for how much of a kind person,
yeah, but it's
caring
not.
Person you are. And suddenly go, actually,
you
this
can't,
guy's
it doesn't matter,
great.
It doesn't matter how you reskin it, mate. It's still a magic hat.
It's a magic hat.
Yeah.
It's a magic hat. But it's also a very cool hat. I hate fedoras, but this fedora,
I
oh,
don't,
God, it's a
I'm
nice
not
hat.
Accepting that after I've said no, you've just made it better.
Yeah, no,
now
no.
That's
no.
not okay.
But, like, but Monkey's Paw, once again, is like, God, you can't really undo that.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you're nasty to people,
what
they're like,
you,
but I know
what
he's
if
a good
you go
dude.
Out with a girl, right? We've all been there, and you know, time wears on, and maybe it's not your cup of tea anymore.
Mm.
And you're like, well, I think the relationship, you have to finish this.
Yeah.
They will never leave you alone.
True, you have the magic fedora. You could go to their best friend, right, and go, my lord, and he'd go, oh, and then you'd be like, look, I just need to get this person off my back because they've been a little bit...
so complicated.
And then, I know, it's a web of chaos,
That's why I don't want it.
But it is a magic hat.
It's a negative.
So you'd rather be able to write... That's the thing, you'd run really fast.
It'd be so fucking useful for everything.
I could
charm people. Yeah, that's fine. That'd be my thing. It'd be like, you know, I'd be the only person that could run that fast, so it wouldn't really matter.
That is true.
And I'd start a craze of people running around making airplane noises. And also, do you think
people then assume that's how you got faster?
Exactly. That'd be hilarious.
Oh, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
And if I needed to charm anyone, I could just be like, well, I'll run your errands for you this afternoon.
I could run real fast and get everything done.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I suppose that does make sense.
If I came to you, Paddy Jervis, and said, look, I know you've got to do this big errand in town, you've got to go pick up your guitar, and then you've got to get the ham and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can do that for you in 20 minutes. And if I wear a GoPro, it'll be really funny.
Oh, fuck, then we would...
You'd do anything for me.
Of course I would. Yeah. And I'd be like, what can I do that is as good as his thing? And I'd try and offer it to you. But I suppose maybe this isn't as good an example as I thought it might be. But I think the other thing is, you'd be an Olympic gold medalist.
If I wanted to be, I could just literally tip up.
If you wanted to be.
They might not let me in on account of the noises, though.
And also, like, no one could take that away from you. Whereas with a magic hat, I'd assume that...
It's a hat. It's not me. People love the hat.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
It doesn't matter how you frame it, people love that hat.
Even people would nick the hat. Yeah, people would try and steal it. You'd be hunted by the government because
there's only so much I could charm them.
Or you could work for the government.
No.
You could be new James Bond.
Why do I want to be that?
Why would
I want that?
If you'd be super sleuth, super smart.
Would you rather?
Okay, so you're going with that with the aeroplane.
I hate to break it
down. No, Laurie, you know, I think
Would you rather be incredibly... Now, I mean attractive in the sense of you attract them, not like sexy attractive.
You mean like gravitational pull?
You have a gravitational pull to all birds in the vicinity. I'm talking any species of bird.
Like the bread thing.
Like the bread thing, except birds.
Except birds. Okay, alright, yeah.
And like you have a means of telepathy and communication with the birds. Doesn't have to be the sparrows and stuff, it can be the big eagles and stuff. It has a big range.
All birds.
But with the addendum that there is a passive magnetism to birds in like a 500 meter radius.
Jesus Christ, that's a big radius.
Not that they'd flock to you, but they'd just be around. And they'd follow
they
you.
They wouldn't stick to me,
and
but
they
they'd,
would,
yeah, they'd...
You'd get shat on once a day at least, for example.
Yeah, okay.
And other such problems.
But surely if I could talk to them, I could... No, sorry, give me the other one and then
other,
I'll start trying to
other option is, The other option is, you have the ability to phase your entire body like in and out of objects, right? Like Kitty Pryde style.
Oh, cool. I can go through walls.
But,
I can go through floors. I can, yeah.
But
right.
When you do it,
yeah.
whenever you do it, your wang like glows bright orange and starts going...
And like a
so like a little siren.
Does it
warning! It's like a health and safety
going
feature
through
they
wall.
Put in. Yeah. So like you can use that power for nefarious means, but whenever you do it, you couldn't sneak into anywhere because your todger, and it becomes viewable through any substance it's in. So if you're halfway through a wall and like, you know, you're trying to get through into the bank vault,
yeah.
All of a sudden people would be able to see a tiny gyrating glowing penis in the wall.
Okay. Okay, alright. Yeah. Alright, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Okay, now, Todger one, my immediate thought with that was fireman. I could be the world's best fireman, right?
Why is that your immediate thought?
I don't know, because also, I'd want to be giving off a warning signal that is like, I'm coming through the wall now, you know, like when they're like, stand back from the door, but it's my wanger, so I don't even have to think about that. And then I could get into the burning building, maybe through a bit that wasn't burning yet. I don't have to go through any of the doors, don't have to go through any of the backdraft. Might be able to rescue some bit. Can I then phase other people?
No, it's through? Just you.
Oh.
You can, maybe you've got a magic, I'll give you a magic satchel that shares your powers. It's not large enough for a human being in.
But it's large enough for me to, like, if I needed
loot.
To get in somewhere
get
with
loot.
A... Exactly, so I can steal things, but and also I can take my tools, like if I need some tools.
Your tools?
Yeah, my tools, you know. My
zip ties.
My super magic zip ties. Okay, but hang on, the bird thing immediately enamours me, because...
I thought it might.
Yeah, funny that, isn't it? I've always wanted to be surrounded by birds.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you could make, like, the most elaborate, like, romantic gestures, for example, with, like, you know, a flurry of
like
birds.
Doves.
You could fetch things from far away. You could have a pet pelican.
If there was a barrier in between the birds and myself, do I hurt the birds?
Your natural...
Say I walk through a zoo.
You can hurt them if you want to.
No, but like I'm walking through a zoo. Yeah. I go through
they
the
will
air
just, they
aviary...
will get, and they will get right up to the edge of their thing and be like, ooh, 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 look at him. Ooh.
Oh, but they won't be like pulled physically no, it's into not, it like, and like, it's not like rip them through
no, no,
the
no,
cage.
No, no, birds like just generally
birds
are going
to
have
a
small pool of sparrows and round-eared parakeets at all times.
Well, I mean, that's... I mean, being able to communicate with them is another thing as well, because... no, but this is already a catch-22. So, for instance, let's say I go with the fireman thing.
Right.
No, let's say I go with a spy.
They're not going to help you with the fireman.
No, but for instance, so like, if I, like, let's say this bird is drawn to me, like a seagull. Mm. Like, let's say, for instance...
Yeah, you see, I hadn't even thought of that. When you get near the beach...
Yeah, I am in
times.
Trouble. But I could talk to these birds, right?
Yeah.
So, but could I be like, bird, hey, and he'd be like, hey... Anyway, yeah, exactly. You be the bird. I'll be the guy. Okay. Hey, bird. Right. I need you to go over there. I need you to get that guy's PIN number.
No. So, I was about to say this. So, the birds are still characteristic of the bird they are. They have the mental capacity of a bird, but you can communicate with them on such a level. You could say, if that man had his PIN number written down, you could say, go and get that bit of paper, because they could recognise what bit of paper.
They
particularly if it was
a crow
or something.
Yeah, there we go.
But you
Here
couldn't
we go.
Be like, do this maths for me. Or like,
yes. Yeah,
and if you wanted
save
to get
my
them,
wife.
If you wanted to get them, yeah. But if you could be like, I need you to press that thing over there, which will turn the sprinklers on, which will save my wife.
Yeah,
they'd understand the first bit. They couldn't understand that abstract, like make sure my children are safe. They wouldn't understand.
Okay,
they
but
just
I
go,
could say constantly stay near my child and
if
get
anything
rid of predators.
It, you have to be very specific. And you have to account for the bird's natural tendencies. The further away they are from you, the weaker the link is.
Oh,
they'll
okay.
take the command into... So, if you have, for example, seagulls are a great example. Because seagulls, if you go near seagulls, they're going to dive bomb you and still steal your chips. You can be like, fuck off, seagulls!
Oh, but I
can
tell them,
it,
please don't take my chips.
But it would be against their nature.
But it would be against their nature as gulls. What's the most intelligent bird? Hang on,
like
an
eagle or something.
What about an ostrich?
Yeah, they'll have an ostrich to ride.
So I could ride an ostrich.
Yeah, it wouldn't be happy about it, but it would let you ride
like,
it.
Like, both things lead to an enormous amount of fame. If I choose to make my powers public, if that makes sense. Being able to phase through walls is an astounding thing that could help humanity.
But everyone would know about the Wang. Like, the Wang has an inordinately large range of warning.
Okay, so, you know what? I'm going to go with birds. And
okay.
You know I'm going to
go
with
birds?
I love the idea of phasing through walls. And you know what? The Wang thing doesn't bother me that much.
Didn't I think it would.
In theory, I have a magic cock. and there's nothing wrong with that. And also...
He said to the judge.
Exactly. And also, don't put me in jail because... No, but also... But with the birds thing, for instance, I could maintain my normal life... Without, I wouldn't be hounded.
Added birds.
I wouldn't be hounded by the public.
Be hounded by birds.
I could just have a relationship with birds to such a level that wouldn't it be lovely if one day you and I we go to the park and I could be like, "Hey, Laurie, I've got something for you," and you could say what, and then 200 ducks just waddle up.
Oh yeah, well that's basically why I gave you.
And
that
this
idea,
is within
yeah.
their nature, and they do a sort of synchronized dance.
Acceptable, yes, within duck nature.
And then you'd be like, dude,
you can influence them.
Yeah.
It's just like ducks will do things duckily.
Yeah,
seagulls will do
and
things
also,
seagully.
We would have the most popular YouTube channel in the fucking country.
Done.
If it would be
a
like,
given.
Hi, it's Paddy and Laurie here,
and the
and
duck parade.
Yeah, and today we're having another duck parade, and we've given them little, you know, drums,
and we've dressed up as giant ducks.
And we've dressed up like giant ducks. Oh my god. Yeah, I'm going to go with the duck thing because I like...
I'm so glad because...
Even if it was just ducks, I might still go with that.
Pat, the thing I've got to tell you, man, is I've been filling your bed linen for the past 6 years...
Right.
...with bird seed, just to get you smelling all bird seed.
Yeah, so that they gather.
So, yeah, it's going to
Oh, my God.
And I just need that. I need a mutagenic recombinator from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then you'll be half man, half bird seed. And then...
God, and then suddenly there's no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, mate.
If I had that, I wouldn't even need the bird thing.
Wouldn't need me.
I could go with the phasing thing, and then I could still have the
bird. No, I'm giving you the bird thing. That's what
Oh, you're giving me the bird thing.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm just going to very quickly follow this up. Okay, so would you rather... okay, no, let's say you're someone... Okay, let's say... Okay, but speaking hypothetics here.
Okay.
All right, let's say you're someone who's really interested in, like, a certain medium of entertainment. Like, let's say...
Audio, primarily,
but secondarily video. Maybe the video is sort of coming up a little bit. So you're really into it, like in the way that we're into Sips, or something like that. And you listen to it, and you watch it, and you really enjoy it, and you want to get involved with it. Like, would you rather tweet those people?
Yeah,
right. Like, say, like at Podchannels.
Okay.
Or your other option is you could email them.
Oh.
Okay. Which would be podshambles@gmail.com.
Gmail. Now, Gmail specifically.
Gmail. Okay, okay. I mean, there are other options included in this. Like, let's say with the tweeting one, you could also get in touch, like, www.reddit.com/r/podshambles.
A similar forum.
Yeah, similar forum. It's fine. Or there's also Facebook, which kind of comes more into the YouTube side of things. You could share videos.
Oh,
like,
okay. Maybe like them. Maybe like them.
You could subscribe to iTunes or Acast, actually. No, I'm going to put Acast in as well because I think you could go onto, like, a Podshambles Acast, for instance, and be like, oh, this is really good, I'm going to post it on Facebook, I'm going to tell my friends, I'm going to, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, monkey's paw, okay? The monkey's paw is actually that, like, when you do all those things, actually, weirdly, it, like, massively benefits you, and it benefits them. And that's something you need to think about a lot, because, like, liking and subscribing, like, stuff like that, and telling your friends, getting people and talking about it in general, and getting in contact and being like, hey, I have this question. Like, maybe you've got a would you rather.
Yeah. Like, maybe you want to send it in to someone.
Exactly.
And so you would either... Well, the thing is, in that instance, just to be made clear...
Yeah, okay.
I would do all of it at once. That's in an omniblast.
That's why I want to...
I would tweet them at Podshambles. I'd send them an email at podshambles@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I'd go to reddit.com/r/podshambles. I'd go to their mum's house and I'd just put a letter through the door.
Yeah, exactly. /r/mum's house. Yeah.
Saying, would you rather...
Yeah.
Bloody blah, blah, blah.
And especially... And I think what's really good for you... I'm really glad you've made that choice, because what's really good for you is as well, like, you've got a very good mind. You're someone who engages with other people who have similar minds. And maybe that is through a podcast format. And what's really nice about that is then when you pose that question to them, it makes their life easier. And I know that sounds weird immediately.
No, but that's what I was going to ask, mate. That was my first question.
And I'm glad.
Does it make these guys happy? I mean, does it mean that they have more money to spend on, for example, solid gold fruits?
Yeah, fruits.
And if the answer is yes, then I'm doing it. And if their names are... Or, I don't know, like, Laddie and Porry?
No, because that's really interesting. Okay. I was going to say Patrick and Lawrence, but I think that's really, like, you should almost shorten them. Like, it should be like, Patty Laurie or something like that, you know, like something like that. And especially if you know how much they love fruits.
I think they might got the point now.
Like, liquid yogurt.
I think if we do this more, they'll give us yogurt. Right?
Okay, so basically,
like a syndicate.
To conclude, I want to say three things, okay? And I know that you want to say three things as well. And that's
why
we're... Yeah, you want to say three things.
Number one.
Keep listening to Podshambles. I think that's clear. That's sort of something.
Okay,
have you got a number two, or shall I just
number
go
two?
On
number two. Froobs.
Number three was liquid yogurt.
Sorry.
That's fine. We'll just have five.
Number two, Froobs colon.
Yeah, and number three, liquid yogurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Number four, really interesting one. Did you know you can freeze Froobs?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, because we've done it.
I did it as a kid, mate.
Everyone should get involved in that, because, like, I don't want Froobs to die out. Okay?
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I love yogurt, and you put them in the freezer, and you suddenly
last forever.
They're not quite fabs, but they're different, and I think that's fun.
And point number five.
Yeah.
Give us Froobs.
Give us fruit. Interesting. And sort of, I know that we didn't say there'd be six, but like the bonus six is send us Froobs.
More
Froobs. And there's a really easy way to do that, and it's by emailing us and saying, hey, I want to send you some Froobs. And then
can I send them in?
Yeah, and then we'll send you our PO box.
Now we'll give you a dodgy back alley to leave them in.
Leave the Froobs there, you know. And,
I'm glad we got that all picked up.
I'm really glad.
And that was really efficient.
And you know what? It's just about time to say goodbye. So, I mean, it's really interesting. We were going to do an outro.
It looks like we
don't need to. So, thank you all for listening.
Yeah, fuck the lot.
Fuck the look at you, and hey, we're all best friends.
Froobs.
Yeah, Froobs. Right, the mic is on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, oh boy, oh boy.
Feel that guitar welling up inside. Okay. Maybe a bit high.
Yeah, I think I had to turn it up for something else. How about that? How does that
sound? Sounds great, man.
Yeah, cool. Are we getting anything from the window?
Probably, and the
festival party going on
outside? Yeah, there's some kind of satanic ritual going on outside that we're going to get ourselves involved in. I'm going to smear some Beatty's blood all over my Butom.
Yep.
And I'm going to run around wildly.
Tonight is the dance of the monkey dance.
Saying, Monkey Satan is among us.
Monkey Satan. What would he look like?
He would look like a monkey with horns.
Understandably.
And yet more mischievous nature than monkeys would previously.
I think I'd get on with him. I think I'd worship him.
Oh, you'd get on with him way too well, mate.
Have you noticed
you're not
going
to meet.
You did just mention that we're both a little
really
bit giddy from coffee.
And we're both, like,
you're, like,
wringing
rubbing
our hands.
Your hands together, and I'm rocking back and forth. I'm so caffeinated right now.
Let's do it.
Right.
Let's do it.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.